Blog Talk Radio.
One year ago, I was touch and go. Time made me see now the mystery, taught me that love and time will change your mind and make it right, bring your darkness to the light. My heart sings in the night, my love I bring to you.
Bye.
All right. All right. Welcome back to the Real Talk for Real People show on Blog Talk Radio Station. My name is Yamsuf Arif. I, along with my brother and friend from New York City, Kytrell, in these shows, these study sessions, we try to get you to go in Saturday's historical studies. These are historical stories. And we try to get you to examine them, not from the outside in, but from the inside out, as if you were there. We try to get you to understand the importance of a contract, a violation of a contract, a codification. And then there are some means to not restore that contract, because there will be a new contract, but some means of communication left in place, like a back door channel, in order to reach the Creator. And yes, there is a backdoor channel. And you have to find the means to contact in this backdoor channel. Also, from the inside out, looking at the importance and significance of a relationship, how one must comport themselves within the confines of that relationship with the Creator, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. How one must exercise themselves and humble themselves. And also, we try to get you to look from the inside out for us and our relationship with one another. How those relationships were, how they were defined. They were defined so that you could get the best out of those relationships. And on the other hand, you couldn't get the best out of relationship, try as you may, our ancient fathers. And today, as I speak, the same thing is occurring universally. And also to get you to see from the inside out in these historical studies about their interaction with strangers, aliens, different nations. And you will see sometimes you can get along with some people of other nations who wants to get along with you. And then again, on the other hand, you can't get along with some people of other nations. It is a comprehensive fundamental study, not a religious study. Although there is a Creator, although there was a worship system in place in Jerusalem, there are still ways that you can connect with Him, honor Him, praise Him, and not lean to your own understanding. There is a way, but you have to have the right heart and the right spirit. If you don't have the right heart and right spirit, it's rather moot for you to do these studies. Because I suspect that if you don't have the right heart and right spirit, as King David did, you're not interested in the Most High. You're not interested in your brothers and sisters as a nation. And you certainly could care less about strangers, different nations, because you're not right. You have to get yourself right. You have to prepare yourself for these studies. You have to prepare yourself for this way of life. And how do you prepare oneself for this way of life? It doesn't come by chance and a happenstance. It doesn't fall out of the sky like Chicken Little and you're running around. It come by burning the midnight oil and being duty-bound to do no less once you have ascertained these studies and they are crystal clear to you, to apply these studies to your life in regards to these relationships. The most pivotal one is your relationship with the Creator. Because if you don't have a relationship with the Creator, all the other relationships are null and void for all intents and purposes. You cannot have a constructive and positive relationship with your brothers and sisters. You cannot have a constructive and positive relationship with strangers, different nations, if those relationships are not predicated on the most important one. the relationship with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Thank you for attending this study session today, and may the Most High bless you in doing so. But as you know, and if you're not new to these study sessions, you know I like to make comments about contemporary subject matters. I would say something about the way America and its people fall into total disarray and shambles. I would say something about their so-called leadership. It's falling into disarray and shambles. But if you have eyes, you can see. And if you have ears, you can hear. Certainly if you're not a walking dead, you can see for yourself. It's true. But I will say this. After Hurricane Ida, the effects are still devastating to those in Louisiana. The shelves are still bare. The waters are still tainted. The sleeping accommodations are kneel and board in some parishes. And it seems as if America has sort of forgotten about them, as they have forgotten about our brothers and sisters in Haiti. They're not getting a lot of assistance from the people of America. Not like days gone by. So I would ask you to remember them in your prayers as you make mention for prayers. So don't forget them. You may not can do a whole lot, but you can do much more than you think you can do by virtue of offering their problems up to the Most High. You can do that. That's the least you can do. And I want to talk about a serious subject matter that we are not supposed to be involved in any shape, form, or fashion. You know, sometimes I watch a little TikTok stuff because some of that stuff funny, especially when they have the little animals, they do the voice over other animals, sort of funny to me. And some of the information that I find on TikTok in relative, in relationship to us sometimes, and just about life in general, I find rather interesting. But what I do find appalling and is sort of making it easy for us to be accommodating on some of these TikTok shows, they are promoting witchcraft and sorcery. They're making it easily accessible. So you be very careful by virtue of those Torah cards, and a lot of witches and sorcerers are utilizing TikTok. So you be very careful when you go on a TikTok. Whenever you run across those witches and sorcerers and those that deal with the dead, keep scrolling. And keep scrolling hurriedly. We're commanded that we don't delve into that in any shape, form, or fashion. We don't even toy with it. It may seem simple. It may seem innocent, but it's something serious. My name is Yamsu Farif. Without further ado, let me bring my friend and brother on from New York State, Cartrell. Cartrell, may the Most High bless you and your family during this trying time. Your mic is hot. Show them.
All praise to the Holy One of Israel, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Shalom, family. May the Most High bless you. Yamsu Farif. May the Most High bless you and your family as well. Thank you.
Thank you very much, brother. I'm very appreciative. And you and your family also.
Yeah, man. So you're saying TikTok is dealing with witchcraft and sorcery and that kind of stuff?
Oh, yeah, brother. Oh, yeah.
That's crazy.
No, but that's the way wickedness works, brother. It uses all means of communication. You make a means, they'll use it. It's true.
Yeah, I saw a documentary when I was in Mexico about witchcraft in America.
Right.
So I'm not surprised, but it's still crazy to me.
It is. And you know, and I know, and most of the students know on these study sessions, that we're not supposed to be involved in that sort of stuff.
So who does TikTok appeal to? The young people, right?
You know, because they try to make it look like it's something innocent. You know, it's just like something normal, you know. You know, they try to get at you like that. Like, it's just something normal. It's what we do, you know. But when people don't understand what the Most High says about certain issues, they simply, was it Malcolm X or Dr. King said, either man stands for something or he falls for anything. I think it was Dr. King. Right, Dr. King said that. Either man or woman stand for something or they'll fall for anything. It's true, Godrell.
And when they know, the enemy knows that you're not standing for anything, they set up platforms like TikTok and have you doing milk crate challenges, breaking your neck.
And, man, I've seen some of the falls, Godrell. We were the least amount of insurance that don't need to be doing anything because we halfway can't work anyway. And the jobs that they're paying us don't pay that very much in the first place. And secondly, as I said, we're the least insured. Ain't no way we should be doing something this. Okay. I'm not going to say any more other than that. There's no way, Katria. No way, fellow students, that we should be participating in this foolishness.
And just what you said, American leadership should be sinking, man. There is no leadership in America, and they're about to let it crash like the Titanic.
Exactly.
But we need to pray for our people like the prophet Nehemiah did, because if we don't buckle up our seatbelts, we're really going to be in duress.
Exactly.
Because, like you said, we see how they treat our people in Louisiana and Haiti and many other places. Where's FEMA? When all these disasters going on, ain't they supposed to be down in Louisiana helping them people?
Now, what was that last statement you said, Katria? I didn't hear.
I said, where is FEMA for the state of Louisiana? Aren't they supposed to be down there helping them people?
If they're there, Katria, I don't think they're doing such a great job. As I said, from what I've studied about it, the shelves are empty in the stores. It's hard, difficult for them to get simple things such as Pampers, medicine, and so on and so forth. The infrastructure is in total disarray.
Now that's crazy.
Yeah. And Joe Biden, I got to applaud him for that. He's trying to help people with the infrastructure and so on and so forth. But her name, remember, I was trying to remember her name, Senator Sinema, the bisexual senator from Arizona. Yes, she's bisexual. And I know she's totally confused about everything. And so that's probably why she's confused about what she needs to be doing for the people. And this fellow Manchin from West Virginia, he ain't nothing but an undercover Republican. So, if Joe Biden is supposed to be leading their party, they're supposed to submit to his policies. But Sinema, with an unstable mind, and Joe Manchin want to be Republican, they're all in contest. And they ain't putting nothing on the table. Okay, you saying you don't want this. What do you want? Joe Manchin, it ain't going to happen. Oh, tough guy. Sitting with an unstable mind. I don't even think she knows what she wants either. Well, she follows a sexual inclination. She don't know. She want to go left or right. So it goes without reason why she's totally confused about everything. She don't know what she wants. So I'm not surprised in the least bit. As far as Sinema of Arizona, and certainly want to be Republican, and I don't care about either party, as I said yesterday. They're two wings of the same bird. They're two wings of the same bird. And I'm going to tell you this, with these two wings of the same bird, You cut one wing off, the whole bird gonna fall down. Now they're playing games up there. They're playing with your lives. But you cut off one wing of that bird gonna fall out the sky and die. With all these game plans. Go ahead, Cartrell.
Like the Republican wing trying to cut itself off from the body. Completely.
That's true, Cartrell. That's true. Because it wants the bird to fall out of the sky. It's trying to help. It's like Cartrell said. They got a saw cutting their own wing off and thinking the bird going to fly without one wing. Cartrell ain't told no lie there, and I did it.
You got all kind of characters trying to cut the wing off. You got Moscow Mitch. You got Teflon Don. You got Jim Jordan.
And don't forget Lizzie. I call him Lizzie. Lizzie Graham. Lizzie Graham.
Lizzie Graham.
He used to be McLean's boy. Not he anybody right. boy.
McCain. Yeah. He flip-flopped.
He a flip-flopper.
Ted Cruz and DeSantis.
Oh,
they got some
characters
in that right wing.
Yeah, they got some characters, Katja. You certainly said a mouthful of that, brother. They got some characters.
I know that.
And they don't care. They don't care.
It's like when Nero was playing that fiddle when Rome was burning.
Yeah, well, you got a bunch of Neros playing fiddles now. Why the bird finna fall? Okay. All right, Cartrell, my brother and friend, if you do with your commentary on contemporary subject matters, I'm certainly done. And we can get into some serious study. Shall we, Cartrell and fellow students?
We got it.
All right. Let's go to the storyline. Nehemiah, the prophet. Let's look at the story from, let's go inside the story. Stop looking at stories from outside. Go inside the story. Become a part of the story. Don't say anything. Let's stand in the corner and watch the interactions with these prophets, with different nations, each other, with the Most High. Let's see how it goes. Chapter 2, Nehemiah. And the month of Nisan, you know, the month of Nisan is April. I know for personal reason. Why is the month of Nisan? It's April. In the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, wine was set before him. Now, here he is. Now, look at it. Go inside. Stop reading it. Go into the story. Look at what's going on. He's telling you what's going on. Go inside the story. Wine was set before him. I took the wine and gave it to the king. Who is I? Nehemiah. He's doing his daily job. What he's saying, I took the wine and tasted it. I was doing my job, and I gave it to the king. Now, he was feeling some sort of weight at that time because he had heard news, and he was feeling anxiety and depression and despondency. It was written all over his face. And he said, I've never been out of sort in his presence, in the king's presence. And the king saw it. And the king said to me, how is that you look bad? You look bad. When the king said, man, you look bad. Nehemiah was looking rough around the edges. He ain't never seen him look like. He said, man, you look bad. He says, are you ill? It must be bad thoughts. You must have some bad thoughts going through your head. I was frightened. You know why he was frightened? Because the king saw what was in his heart, was on his face. And he was frightened because he kept his secrets close to the vest. I suspect he was rather stoic around the king. He kept himself together. And knowing that the king saw him out of, feeling some sort of way out of sorts, it frightened him. But
you know why?
Why is that country?
He tasted the king's wine. And maybe today might be some poison in the wine, which is why he looking so bad. You trying to poison his son?
Right. So, you got something going on? I need to know? So, yeah, I guess he became afraid. But he answered the king. May the king live forever. He gave him respect. He said, may the king live forever. He didn't have, he was doing his job. And some brothers and sisters would take issue with that. Him being a Hebrew Israelite and King Artaxerxes being a Babylonian. So he shouldn't have been pouring his wine, talking about the king, long live the king. That man was doing his job. A lot more than what some of us are doing right now where we're living. We don't know how to get along with nobody. The man was doing his job. And the man gave the man respect because of the man. He knew the king of Texas was doing some constructive and positive things for the nation. So he wasn't going to hate on the man just because he was a Babylonian. He knew that man was...
No.
Yeah, go ahead, Cartier.
Artaxerxes was Persian.
Oh, Persian. My bad. Persian. My apologies. Persian
king. Yeah.
So he wasn't hating on him simply because he was a Persian. He knew the king of Taxerus was doing a constructive and positive thing for the nation. And so he gave him a common courtesy for that. And he said, long live the king. Because I know you're doing something. I know you respect my Elohim. And that's why you're doing it. And I'm appreciative. So long live you. I ain't trying to put you in no trick bag, king. No, I ain't trying to put you on the spot. I ain't trying to get you poisoned. I ain't feeling that kind of way. But I'm going to tell you why I'm feeling and looking like I'm looking. Okay? He said, how should I not look bad? Tell you why I'm looking like I'm looking. He said, how should I not look bad when the city of the graveyards of my ancestors, where my ancestors are buried, lies in ruin. And the gates have been consumed by fire. All the gates have been burned out. The king said to me, all right, I understand. So, Nehemiah, what would you have of me? What is your request? With a prayer to Yah of heaven? He said, I had already prayed to Yah. I'd already made the backdoor connection with Yah. With a prayer to Yah of heaven?
No, that was a quick prayer.
Yeah, okay. All right. Quick prayer then.
In the midst of the king because he was afraid.
Okay, he said a quickie. For the quickie, huh? All right.
Oh, yeah.
I asked the king. If it pleased the king. And if your servant has found favor with you, send me home to Yehuda, to the city of my ancestors' grave where they're buried, to rebuild it with the consort seated at his side. The king said to me, how long will you be gone? And when will you return? So it was agreeable to the king to send me. I gave him a time frame, a date. And then I said to the king, if it please the king, let me have correspondence letters to the governors of the province beyond the river, Abia, directing them to grant me passage until the province of beyond the river, grant me passage until I reach Yehuda to give me assistance. Likewise, a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's park, directed him to give me timber for roofing, the guardhouse of the temple, fortress, and the city walls, and for the house I shall occupy. The king gave me these. And you know what he did? Like we all should do when Most High has answered high prayers. He, thanks to my Elohim benevolent care for me, he gave under what's under was due. He praised the Most High. Like Cartrelli and Abiyah and others do on the show on Friday. We give praise and blessings to the Most High and being thankful. And see, here's a fitting example. And we are actually just following these men's behavior. He gave thanks for the Most High benevolent care for me. When I came to the governor of the province beyond the river, I gave them the king's letters, dispatches, and correspondence. The king also sent army officers and a cavalry with me. When Sabalai, the Horonite, always going to be somebody itching. Don't think just because the Most High is for you, ain't nobody going to be coming at you. When Samblai, the Horonite, and Tobiah, the Unumnite, our cousin, our kinfolk, servant heard, it displeased them greatly. They were incensed that someone had come. And the reason why they had come intent on improving the conditions of the Israel. If you try to improve your brothers and sisters' lot, just like Cartrell and I and fellow students pray for those in Haiti, for those in Louisiana, oh, we already ready. We already know somebody coming at us. We don't know how they're coming, but they're coming. They come when they try to undermine the show. They come when they kick me off my own show, and I'm the host. Then I got to pass in through Cartrell. I got to do all this remamaru, thanks to the Most High, and get on. So whatever you're doing with the Most High, this is what it is showing you. Even though the Most High is with you, it ain't going to be peaches and cream, okay? I arrived in Jerusalem. After I was there 3 days, I got up at night. See, that's, he didn't lay on his laurels. He didn't lay on his laurels. I'm talking about the king of Persia and got love for me. I got all these letters of dispatches. I'm something important. See, that's what Cartrell and I do. We don't wait because we had a show before that show and a show before that show and try to be your charismatic leader. We don't want to be your leader. We ain't nothing. Man, we're going to be dead one day. But what we try to share with you is these studies that would never die. Yom Sufar Reef and Cartrell is going to be dead one of these days. And so who are we going to be leading? But what we can share with you that'll lead you when we're going from here, because we are not anything special, is the word of the Most High that you can utilize, that they can support, encourage you, motivate you, love you, lift you up when you're down, and make people be susceptible to you, favorable to you. See, this is what we're sharing with you. So we're not trying to be your charismatic leader. We don't give ourselves titles, Cartrell and I. Titles don't mean nothing. It doesn't matter because it doesn't mean anything. But the word of Yah means everything. That's what we're trying to teach y'all. That's what we're trying to show y'all. This is what you need. You don't need Cartrell. You don't need Yom Suf. You need the Most High. What did it say in the Psalms? The Most High footsteps are your pathway. His word and the application of his word in your life. That's what Cartrell and I try to show you. So he says, and this man didn't lay on his laurels. What did he do? I got up at night. I wasn't showboating. I wasn't trying to show out. And a few men with me and telling no one what my Elohim had put into my mind to do. I didn't get on top of the rooftop. Hey, y'all. Oh, the Most High told me to get up at night and go on and do the little checking around and whatnot. Showboating. Title seeking. Trying to be a charismatic leader. I got up compelled by the Most High to humble myself and go out in the wee hours of the night to do something constructive and positive. It ain't about trying to get adulation. It's about the work of the Most High. And that's what he did. And it's a humble state of mind. And he says, and my mind to do for Jerusalem, and taking no other beast than the one which I was riding. That's the only beast I took. I went out by the valley gate, a night toward the jackal springs and the dung gate. And I think the dung gate, you know, I thought about the dung gate. I thought hard about the dung gate. And the dung gate is really reflective of what that gate was used for. You know, you couldn't have human waste sitting around in the city. I think that dung gate was used to get rid of dung, human feces, and so on and so forth. They probably had a spot to dump it. I think it was reflective of the name. I thought about that, Cartrell, a fellow student. I may be wrong. What do you think, Cartrell?
Oh, you're probably right. Probably had running water where people had, you know, toilets to go to.
Okay. Thank you, Cartrell. And here's what he did. He did some work, and he didn't need to be showboating to do it. And you got to look at the miles he surveyed. The walls around Jerusalem were roughly about 2.5 miles. This guy went about 2.5 miles inspecting, surveying around the city of Jerusalem, what was needed, and so on and so forth. And he says, I surveyed the walls of Jerusalem that were breached and its gates consumed by fire. I proceeded to the fountain gate and to the king's pool, where there was no room for the beast under me to... It was so much rubble that the beast couldn't even proceed any longer. So I went up the wadi by night, surveying the wall, and entered again by the valley gate. I returned. The governors knew nothing of where I had gone or what I had done. I wasn't showboating. I put in work. Since I had not yet divorced to the Yehudites, now I really didn't tell them the reason why I was coming. But I wanted to get all my information together first before I approached him. So I did some night surveying, inspecting 2.5 miles around this city to see what walls were breached, what gates were in disarray, what was needed for those gates, what was needed to fill in the breaches of those walls, and so on and so forth. He said, I had yet to divulge to the Yehudites, the Levite priests, the fat cats, I call them the nobles and the governors, all the rest of the officials. Then I said to them, after I had gathered all the information, I had humbly, not showboating, I did my due diligence to make sure I had all my ducks in order. And then I said to them, you see the bad state? He didn't say you are in. He included his brothers and sisters among the lot. He didn't try to set himself apart, just like some of us do, trying to be something special. He said, we, inclusive, are in a bad state in Jerusalem, lying in ruins and its gates destroyed by fire. Come, in conjunction, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem and suffer no more disgrace because of this. The walls are breached and rubble. The gates are burned out of the gates. I told them of my Elohim's benevolent care for me. I told them how Yah was working for me, not on me, because I was following the rules. I wasn't leading to my own understanding. Also, the things that the king had said to me of Persia, how he responded in a benevolent fashion. And if you're connected with Yah, you got the back door channel. You can people. What is Yah? I can make your enemies your footstool. I can make your enemies your footstool. See, you can't make it. You can't talk them into it. You can't walk them into it. You can't fight them into it. See, that's the problem with us. Because we don't want to follow the rules, Cartrell. That's our problem. We don't want to follow the codification. That's our problem. We want to talk somebody into it, loud talk somebody into it, cuss somebody into it, vote somebody into it, march somebody into it. You can't do that. The only someone can do that is the Most High God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. Make sure you have established your communication with him first and foremost. That's what Nehemiah is saying. I established a connection. I'm connected in. And as a result, the king of Persia has been favorably inclined to me and us. He's teaching a lesson here on morality. He's teaching a lesson here on folly codification. He's teaching a lesson here of stop leading to your own understanding. He's teaching a lesson here of being humble. He's teaching a lesson here of not being showboating. He's teaching a lesson here of stop being looking for titles. He's teaching a lesson here of saying we're all in this together. That's the problem, Contrail. That's the problem. Oh, it's true. So let's conclude. He says, let us start building. He didn't say that y'all, I'm something special. I will sit on here and make y'all niggas get to work. No, he said, let us put in work. They were encouraged by him because of his humility. They were encouraged by him because he wasn't title seeking. They were encouraged by him because he wanted to put in work. He wanted to get his hand dirty too. They were encouraged by him because he was connected with Yah, most importantly. See, that's how you get action. Not showboating. Not title seeking. Not pride. But humility and love for your brothers and sisters and seeing themselves as you see yourself. And loving them as you love yourself. In conclusion, here comes trouble. As I always said, don't think you got to plug in with Yah. The trouble ain't going to come along because it's right behind you. You better believe it. When Sanballat, the Aaronite, and Tobiah, the Ammonite, our cousins, servant, and Geshem, the Arab herd, three of them, three different nations, what did they do? Did they encourage us? Did they say Black Lives Matter? Did it say take a vote? No. What did they do? See, some nations you can get along with because they want to get along with you. Some people of other nations. But then on the other hand, here we have, ain't no Black Lives Matter, ain't no joining no gay organization, no fraternity, no frat club, no witchcraft, ain't no vote, ain't nothing going to get you into their good graces. And you better believe it. Stop lying to yourselves and to each other. So Sanballat, the Aaronite, and Tobiah, the Ammonite, servant, and Geshem, the Arab herd, they mocked us. Oh, you niggas ain't, man, you niggas ain't got nothing going on for y'all, man. Man, you niggas finna build them. Oh, come on, man. That lied to yourself. You all know y'all ain't about nothing. Ain't nothing but a few of y'all anyway. Y'all know y'all can't get along. You know you're going to be at each other's throat soon. I don't know what you niggas trying to build up that wall for anyway. And put them gates back in. You know you niggas don't get along together. Oh, it's true. And so they didn't encourage him. They mocked us. They held us in contempt and said, what is this that you're doing? Are you rebelling against the king? Did the king of Persia even know what y'all niggas are doing? I said to them in reply, Nehemiah speaking, he put it out there, just like we need to put it out there and learn to stop trying to say the book got you, the Black Lives Matter movement got you, the gay organization got you. You know what he said? This is how your mind need to be. Yah of heaven will grant us success. You better believe it. See, the nonsense some of us own country just irks me, brother. The nonsense some of us are on, Cartrell, it just burns me up. And I be feeling some sort of way like Nehemiah some days. Even before I come on the show, I be feeling some sort of way. When I look at the stuff on TikTok, when I look at the stuff on Foosbook, Cartrell, I be feeling some sort of way. But not because I don't love my brothers and sisters. I just see them in total disarray and totally confused about everything and following everything. Instead of following the Most High, which will make your life successful. Nothing else will. And he leaves this information. It just irks me, Contrail, and fellow students. He said, Yah of heaven will grant us success. That's all we need. And we, his servants, will start, but we're going to put on some work. We're going to put in work. But you have no share. See, you don't feel none of this because you ain't in this. You ain't blooded in this, so you ain't feeling nothing what I'm saying. But those that are blooded in, they're connected in with Yah, they understand what I'm talking about. Fellow students, I'm going to tell you that right now. Some of y'all understand what I'm saying because you blooded in and you connected spiritually with Yah. You understand what Katra and Yom Suf is saying because you blooded in, most importantly. But he said, you have no share or claim or state. It don't matter because it don't mean nothing to you about the city of Jerusalem. Whatever we doing, however we doing it, and we don't do it, you have no stake or claim in one way or the other. And so that's how some folks is in your life. That's how some folks is in your life. But you got to know where your success comes from. Contrell, you have the mic, my dear brother and friend. I'm out.
Are you so right? So did the king get you permission to do this? And he didn't even read the first king of Persia.
Exactly. You better believe it. Heaven
will prosper us. We, his servants, will start the rebuilding, but you have no just ancient right in Jerusalem. So we don't care what you say. We don't really care what the king says. We know what the Most High told us to do. And what they're doing is a part of the Most High's plan, not Nehemiah's plan, like you said. Nehemiah's following Yah's plan. Matter of fact, he prayed for 4 months before he left Persia to get to Jerusalem. And the way he approached the king, face was sad. And he could have said, oh, I ain't nothing wrong. I'm just, you know, a little tired today. You know, could have fluffed it off. But he approached the king diplomatically to the degree that he got the king's support. He sent them with a military escort. He supplied them with wood to rebuild the temple. And he gave them from the treasury. So he knew from that the Most High was in the matter.
Exactly.
And he was wise enough to get papers from the king. He traveled in the country. He got the king's seal. Anybody try to stop him, all you got to do is show the king's seal. But he was wise enough when he got to Jerusalem, right, to not say anything for 3 days until he rose up on that night and did a recon of Jerusalem and the city with the damage was done. He didn't approach the people when he first got there. He had to do his own homework, like you said, find out what's going on, and then point out to them, like, y'all here, and we need to do this, because this is down, and that's down. We need to do this and do that. And he got the agreement, which was another sign that the Most High sent him. So he spoke back to the leaders, and the leaders saw what he was saying, and they all came to one accord that what he's saying has to be done. They recognized that the Most High was with him.
Exactly.
Nehemiah.
And you had a good, you know, Katriel, agreeing with what you're saying. And one thing you said, he had a good attitude. He was humble. He had a good attitude. He had a good a work approach. He had a good unification approach. A unification approach. When he said us, we all in this together. I like his unification approach. I like his good humility. His work ethic, you know, and wasn't showboating, wasn't looking for titles, wasn't looking for personal acclaim. He just doing it for us. He was doing it for the Most High. And that's what we should be doing, just like Cartrell and I try to do. Cartrell and I don't do this every day because we're trying to get some points. We're doing it every day because the Most High would have us do this. And we ain't doing it for no acclamation, self-exhortation. No title, no leadership. Now, like I tell you all the time, don't follow Yom Suf across the street because you're going to get run over, okay? But you follow the word of Yah, you can't go wrong. I apologize, Katja. Go ahead, brother.
So imagine you being servant to Joe Biden, drinking his wine, make sure he ain't poisoned every day.
Yeah.
While you see people being shot by police, putting knees in their neck and killing them and killing our sisters. Meantime,
right.
He's serving Joe Biden wine.
Right.
So I'm sure Nehemiah, he's watching the condition of his people. Even though he got a high position serving the king, he couldn't have been happy at all. And the fact that it showed that one particular day
means Yah wanted to put his plan in motion to change the condition of our people because he showed us mercy. We see that the king of Persia had control over all that land. How you came to Jerusalem, how you went, you had to have permission from him. He's not the king of Israel. He's the king of Persia. So where was our king
right.
in these moments in time in our history? We didn't have one.
Right.
But we did have Yah.
And that's the best king you can have at the time, Cottrell. That's the best leader you can have at the time.
No doubt.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, we didn't have a king, and Yah was leading us. And you see, these men had no fear. Not of the adverse, like you said, even though you with Yah, there's going to be some adversity. But they faced it fearlessly, right?
Right.
They didn't back down to these brothers who confronted them and tried to make fun of them.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. They showed holy boldness, which is something we don't have today.
Exactly.
At least not for Yah. We holy bold in a lot of other things, but we ain't holy bold for Yah.
Yeah, the wrong things, Katria. Truth be told. And now, I wouldn't say holy bold. We just bold. We just bold with the wrong things. We're bold toward wrongness, not bold, holy bold toward righteousness. And that's a big difference. And I agree with Cottrell. I agree with Cottrell. It's true. Well, Cottrell, if you're done with your commentary, if you're not, continue on. Don't let me stop because the Most High may be leading you. So, but if you're done, we'll proceed on to the next study, which is our songs created by a lot of great brothers. And this contemplation was Ethan. Let me put these glasses back on, Katria. Psalms 89, if Katria is done, if not, we'll wait till him, and then we'll get to him. I'm going to set Katria up. I do this set the Ezraite. Psalms 89. But if Katria is not done, come to you. I don't want to cut off because the Most High may be leading him. It says something you need to hear. I'm just setting you up so you'll be there when Katria will get ready to get there. Okay? So you got the mic, Katria. Okay. All right. I'll set them up for you, Katria. I'll set them up. You guys, I'll set up the pins for you. The only thing you got to do is bowl the ball.
You couldn't be no punk hanging out with Ezra and Nehemiah.
You better believe it. You better believe it, Katria.
So we need to learn from them that we should be fearless when Yah is on our side.
And we need to think in terms of unification and nation, too. Instead
exactly.
of individuals, many splintered groups of importance and title
but
seeking.
That's what gave
right.
them their strength.
Right.
They were more concerned with their people than themselves.
Right. But, he didn't come to seek titles. He didn't come to be something special. That's what I liked about him. He said, hey, man, I came here to put in work. We going to put in work. I'm worried about y'all. I got a good spot. But I'm worried about y'all, okay? And I'm going to make it happen for y'all because I love y'all, man. I'm looking out for y'all. So I'm going to make it happen because I don't want these folks mocking us, man. It's us they mocking, not just you or you or you. They're mocking all of us. They're ridiculing all of us, all those niggas in their eyes. Go ahead, Cottrell.
Yeah, he didn't give himself a title, but the Most I did. He's a prophet in Israel, so he might
exactly.
not be looking for the title, but
right.
his title is Nabi, prophet.
Nabi.
Yep.
Cottrell and I are just spokespersons, okay? We're just spokespersons, what Yah says and what these Nabis say, okay?
More than one prophet is a Nabi'in.
Nabi'in says. What these Nabi'in said, Katria, our spokesperson for the Most High, and what these Nabi'in said to the Most High said. It's all Katria and I, and that's the only title we're seeking, just spokesperson. And anybody can be one, even you. And so you should be. Go ahead, Katria.
We're going to push it along for the 89th song. A song by a brother named Ethan, the Ezraite. Maybe he was descendant of Ezra. Anytime you're Ezraite, it means your father's name was Ezra.
Okay. All right. All right. I think you owned it something, Katria.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But we know the Levites were close to Yah. They made songs in the tradition of Asaph, the singer, famous singer, who wrote a couple of songs that we went through. And the tradition continues of these songs of love to the Most High, giving praise and honor to the King of the universe, the Creator. And that's what our people do. They transformed it into gospel, singing to an idol. But it's just like the rap music. Rap music used to be a conscious music that our people made back in the day to keep awareness in our community of what was going on socially, and, you know, basically it was like a news report. But now it's all about self and glorifying self and whatever else is coming out of rap now that it wasn't before. So these songs are traditions of singing praise to the Most High, giving him honor and glory. And Ethan, the Ezraite, son of Ezra, composed this particular song. So we give thanks and praise to the Holy One of Israel for all our composers, because we know our musicians are inspired some way, somehow, by the Most High. He says, I will sing continually about Yah's faithful deeds. To future generations, I will claim your faithfulness. And here we are reading his song in this future generation. For I say, loyal love is permanently established. In the skies, you set up your faithfulness. Yah has said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one.
Mm-hmm.
I have made a promise and an oath to my to King David, my servant.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people think that Jesus is the anointed, the Messiah, the Christ. But the 89th Psalm will let you know that the Christ, the Messiah, that the Most High is talking about is King David.
Exactly. Selah.
And in the fourth verse, he seals it when he says, I will give you an eternal dynasty. How long is King David's dynasty?
Eternal, it means exactly what it means, Katriel. It don't mean sometime, part-time, or half-time. It means full-time, forever and a day.
And establish your throne throughout future generations. So we haven't got to the future yet, right? Where King David is the king and his dynasty is eternal. We haven't gotten it yet. So this is futuristic. Oh,
Because restoring one's soul for his name's sake means exactly what it means. It's restoration of that one soul. And so a lot of y'all don't believe that there is restoration of the soul. I think Psalms 23rd says it.
Right.
Psalm 23 said, he restores my soul for his name's sake.
He leads me to the water.
Right. And he can restore your soul. You know, he can restore your soul. You know what I pray for, Cartrell? And I'm sorry for being rude, and I do apologize, brother. Two things I pray for. I pray for a healthy life and longevity so I can do the Most High work and so on and so forth. And pray, and I will give praise to the Most High in a great assembly when we're all gathered back together. And I pray for restoration of my soul, that he restores my soul for his name's sake. And I do, and I said, and I will give praises to you in a great assembly. Those are the two most important things I pray for, Kaja. And I try to pray consistently in those two things. To have, if I'm here in a human form, to be healthy, to transition over. It's the Most High call, but I do ask. And once I transition over, that the Most High restores my soul for his name's sake. And I promise to praise his name in a great assembly for doing so. So those are the two primary things. I pray for a lot of things, but those two are the two primary things. So I want to see King David. I want to see Moses. I want to see Joshua. I want to see Job, a righteous man. I want to see Queen Esther. I want to see Deborah. I want to see Ruth. I want to see Boaz. I just want to see a lot of folk, Katria. I just want to see a lot of constructive brothers and sisters, because I ain't seen it like that. I want to see a unified nation that I can talk to folk what they went through and so on and so forth, and how it worked for me and how it didn't work for me, how it worked for them, what they went through. I want to have the opportunity to be able to sit at their feet or sit alongside them, the other elders that went through trying times, wherever they hail from or whatever time frame they hail from. Nehemiah, Ezra, Isaiah, our brother that was taken up by the chariot. That is the greatest opportunity to me, country and fellow students, that one could ask for, to be restored. You can have opportunity. Instead of going to the library, you can talk to the librarian right there in their face. That opportunity. I would love that opportunity. Go ahead, Cartrell.
Well, we know that the actions of mankind interfere with Yah's plan to give man eternal life, because everything that Yah created is supposed to last forever. Unfortunately, he said, it grieves me that I made man, therefore I'm going to shorten his life. And that's what happened.
He shortened him. At the Tower of Babel, we were living a rather long time. But when we got together, different nations, started trying to be slick, trying to build a tower up to the heaven, trying to be like Yah. Not only did he give us different languages and separate us into different nations and so on and so forth and totally confused about everything, which we still are, he shortened our days. And as Cartrell said, we're supposed to be living a long time, a mighty long time. But we the cause of that. All of us.
Not just living a long time, living forever, never dying.
Forever. Forever, ever.
Started with Adam.
Yeah, Adam started it. Yeah, Adam started
the course
of demise. Adam
was supposed to be immortal.
Right.
Now, too. Adam was supposed to be immortal. As was Eve, his life.
I agree. Even that being said, they live a rather long time now. Now, we think 60, 70, 80, maybe 90, certainly 120 is a long time. But if you're talking to them brothers and sisters back there, man, you're talking about a mighty long time. A mighty, mighty long time. Okay? We just teenagers compared to them, Cartrell. As a matter of fact, we probably ain't even coached teenagers. We just coming, you and I, Cartrell, and thanks to the Most High, and I'm not knocking him, and I thank him for each 65 years that he allotted me. In times of my unworthiness, I'm just like King Dawood. My iniquities are numerous as the hairs on my head, and I'm lower than a snake's belly. I'm lower than a dog. And I concur with King Dawood because Yamsu used to do a lot of things I'm very ashamed of. And I don't speak of it and to ring a bell. I speak of things I've done in time past to tell people, if the Most High can save this Negro, the Most High can point him in the right direction, the Most High can humble him, certainly the Most High can work wonders for you. Because Yamsu ain't nothing. He wasn't nothing. And he still ain't nothing. I'm still dirty. But all praise to the Most High, and thanks to him that I have an opportunity to evolve. And so I'm looking forward to the day when I transition over, and Most High, I pray, restores my soul for his name's sake, so I can be unified with my brothers and sisters as a nation. I don't have to be under subjection of different nations to be mistreated, abused, and dominated, and sometimes killed and lynched, and then to look for a gay organization to lead me out of my trouble, witchcraft and sorcery to lead me out of my trouble, a voting to lead me out of my troubles. Because ain't none of that going to lead me or you out of our troubles. And you better believe it. Because none of those organizations put it on us, and none of those organizations can get it off of us. Only the Most High. I'm sorry, Cartrell.
Yeah, so to complete my thought, the Most High, when he created all things and everything, it was intended to be eternal. Adam and Eve were supposed to be immortal, and they went left. And for death to enter the earth, and death has been in the earth ever since that time. The first murder was Cain and Abel. He shed his blood, and blood has been shed ever since. So the great judgment is going to turn creation around. And you have to be written in the book of life in order to meet those righteous souls that you mentioned. Because really, in reality, we're supposed to be able to talk to Adam and Eve today had they not violated the Most High's law or his command that he gave them. And Moses, you could have met today had not that curse been put into the earth. But that's neither here nor there now because we're in the situation that we're in. And the object of our life is to be written in the book of life because the Most High is promising eternal life. We read it in the book of Daniel. He said, in that day, he said, some will wake up to everlasting life and some to everlasting abhorrence. So we know some are going to Sheol and some are going to appreciate the righteous souls that have lived. But getting back to the psalm, it goes on to say in the fourth verse, I will give you an eternal dynasty. That's how we got on that subject, because King David's dynasty is eternal, and establish your throne for our future generation, which has yet to come. He's talking about the future. Yah of hosts, Yah of heaven, praise your amazing deeds, as well as your faithfulness in the angelic assembly. For who is in the sky? Who in the skies can compare to Yah? Who is like Yah among the heavenly beings? The Elohim who is honored in the great angelic assembly and more awesome than all who surround him. So we think the angels are powerful. The angels are in awe of their creator, Yah, the Most High. He's their father. That's why they are his sons and maybe even daughters. He says, and more awesome than they all that surround him. O Yah, Elohim of heaven and armies, who is strong like you, O Yah? Your faithfulness surrounds you. You rule over the proud seas. When its waves surge, you calm them down. You crush the proud one. You killed it. With your strong arm, you scattered your enemies. The heavens belong to you, as does the earth. You made the world and all that it contains. You created the north and the south, Tabor and Hermon. These are mountains, I believe. Tabor, mountains in Palestine. Tabor and Hermon, rejoice in your name. Your arm is powerful. Your hand is strong. Your right hand, victorious. Equity and justice are the foundations of your throne. Loyal, love, and faithfulness characterize your rule. How blessed are the people who worship you. Oh, yeah, they experience your favor. And we see that with Nehemiah, with Ezra, the prophets. We see that with Moshe. We see with King David. We see with all our brothers and sisters that align themselves with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They rejoice in your name all day long and are vindicated by your justice. For you give them splendor and strength. By your favor, we are victorious. This is the spirit that Nehemiah and Ezra had. It didn't matter who their adversaries were. They had this feeling of strength coming from the Most High. Why? Because for our shield belongs to Yah, our king, to the Holy One of Israel. Then you spoke to a vision to your faithful followers and said, I have placed a young hero over a warrior. I have raised up a young man from the people. I have discovered King David, my servant. There goes Jesus out the window. With all my holy oil, I have anointed him as king. That's where he becomes the Christ, the Messiah, this anointing. That's what that means, Mashiach. In the Greek, it's called Christ or Christody. This anointing, he anointed King David. My hand will support him, futuristic, and my arm will strengthen him. No enemy will be able to extract tribute from him. A violent oppressor will not be able to humiliate him. I will crush his enemies before him. All this is futuristic, which means that Yah is going to restore the soul of King David. I will strike down those who hate him. He will experience my faithfulness and loyal love, even beyond the grave. And by my name, he will win victories. This is futuristic. I will place his hand over the sea, his right hand over the river. He will call out to me, you are my father, my Elohim, and the protector who delivers me. I will appoint him to be my firstborn son. That's what they try to attribute Jesus to, right? They try to say, Jesus is the only begotten.
I don't know where they got that from. When right here in the Book of Psalms, the Most High saying King David is appointed as his firstborn son, the most exalted of the earth's kings. Jesus was never a king. King David, yes, he did live as a king. I will always extend my loyal love to him. He's talking about King David. And my covenant with him is secure. I will give him an eternal dynasty. He repeated himself. He's reassuring that this is going to happen in the future. And make his throne an enduring as the skies above. If his sons reject my law and disobey my regulations, if they break my rules and do not keep my commandments, I will punish their rebellion and beat them with a club, like a father does to his son. Their sin by afflicting them with bruises. But I will not remove my loyal love from him, King David, nor be unfaithful to my promise. I will not break my covenant or go back on what I promised. Once and for all, I have vowed by my own holiness, I will never deceive King David. His dynasty will last forever. Now, this is the third time he has said that. Whose dynasty are we talking about? We're talking about King David and his dynasty. His throne will endure before me like the sun. What don't people get about this 89th chapter of the Book of Psalms? It will remain stable like the moon. King David's throne will endure like the sky. But you have spurned and rejected him. You are angry with your chosen king. You have repudiated the covenant with your servant. You have thrown his crown to the ground. You have broken down all his walls. You have made his strongholds a heap of ruins. All who pass by have robbed him. He has become an object of disdain to his neighbors. Sounds like, you know, the book of Nehemiah we just read.
Exactly.
You have allowed his adversaries to be victorious, and all his enemies rejoice. You turn back his sword from the adversary and have not sustained him in battle. You have brought to an end his splendor and have knocked his throne to the ground. That's the point in time that we're at right now. Because where's King David's throne?
Exactly.
To the ground. We're not even talking about King David's throne, even though the fact that it is eternal. Right?
Exactly.
You have cut short his youth. Oh, that's why he said he restores my soul. How long did King David live? To about 80?
Yeah. I think he was 70 years old.
Yeah. How long, will this last? Will you remain hidden forever? So while King David's throne is down, his crown is thrown to the ground, Yah is hidden himself. And how long will that last? How long will Yah continue to hide himself? Will he hide himself forever? I don't think so. Will your anger continue to burn like fire? Because that's what we feel in. Yah's wrath, Yah's fire on us as a people. Because we still haven't got it right. Take note of my brief lifespan. We just had a big discussion about that. Why
exactly.
Do you make all people so mortal? Why do you make all people so mortal? No
right.
Man can live without experiencing death or deliver his life from the power of Sheol. Only Yah could deliver you from the power of Sheol. And if that's your
Agreed.
Destination, ain't nobody going to deliver you from Sheol.
You can't nobody save you.
Oh, no. Where are your earlier faithful deeds, O Yah? Because we need them now. That's for sure.
You better
the
believe
it. Performed in accordance with your reliable oath to King David. Are you going to live up to that oath that you made to King David? The Most High reassured us in this chapter that he certainly will. Take note, O Yah, of the way your servants are taunted. Each and every day that we're living, we are taunted, Yah. And of course, we must bear so many insults from people. Your enemies, O Yah, hurls insults. They insult your chosen king as they dog his footsteps. Yah deserves praise forevermore. Amen. Amen. So we see our synchronization. This is a reflection of the chapter we just read in Nehemiah. And we haven't won the favor of Yah as of yet. But the Most High's King is amongst us. He's in his captivity. The Most High is going to restore him. And he promises that he's going to establish King David's throne and his dynasty forever. Is there a limit on forever? I don't think so.
All right. I don't think so either, Cartrell. As a matter of fact, And not only I don't think so, I know so. And you better believe it.
And it's kind of funny that the people who claim to be Yehuda or Jews, they don't have that royal seed, do they?
They certainly don't.
They're not looking for him either.
I know, brother. I know. I'm not worried about them. I'm concerned about us. And that's why you and I, Contrail, that's why we do what we do, Monday through Friday, because of love for the Most High, love for his people, his peculiar people, his nation, love for our king, love for our Levitical priests, love for this total, because we are in total disarray and totally confused about everything. And we know there's a time coming, Contrail. You and I know, and fellow students that are serious in their studies, serious in their relationship with the Creator, serious in their love for the Creator, serious in their love for the brothers, serious in their common courtesy for different nations, are serious about this. And it's something serious, Contrail. Well, Contrail, you did a beautiful study, and I'm very appreciative. And I'm pretty sure the fellow students are serious about their love for the Most High and serious about their love for this nation. Are very appreciative too, but I certainly am. And may the Most High bless you, Contrail.
Appreciate it. Most High bless you as well.
Anytime, my brother, and I'm very appreciative. Well, fellow students, Contrail and I, we put in our work. Will you work with us? That's all we ask. Work with us to unify this nation. Work with us to get yourself together. Work with us to reestablish your relationship with the Creator. Work with us to reestablish your relationship with your nation. And if you're a stranger, a different nation, still work with us. We got a spot for you. And work with us just because it's the right thing to do. Because you've been doing so much wrong all your life, you don't know right from wrong. But the Most High does. And the Most High will act accordingly. And if your name is not written in that book because you've acted accordingly, we don't want you to suffer the consequences of your actions because it's something serious. That being said, you know, Contrail and I, we try to be humble. And we know this for a fact. We don't know much, but we do know this. You think you're ready to get out of here. You've been listening and studying along with us on the Real Talk for Real People show. On Blog Talk Radio Station. We pray and hope that you let the Most High direct and order yourselves as you should, and that your whole life is predicated upon that, because his footsteps are your pathway, his word and the application of his word in your lives. And also, we pray that you have the right spirit and right heart to do this, because you're going to need it, and you better believe us. You got to have the right spirit. And what would that spirit look like? Well, it would be contrite and humble, and it would be steadfast. Once you know, even though you may fall on your behind, you get your behind up, and you keep at it. And also, it should look like this, as far as your heart is concerned. Loving the Most High with all that heart, all your mind, all your soul and all your strength, everything you can muster within yourself, and loving your brothers and sisters, your neighbors, as you love yourself. Meaning that in order to love your brothers and sisters, you got to learn to love yourself, because a lot of us don't love ourselves because they told us you're nothing, you're ugly, you're black, you're niggers, you're none of those things. So don't stop responding to that. Respond to what the Most High says, because that's the only thing going to matter at the end of the day. What's in that book, and hopefully your name is in that, and what he does afterwards. Contrail and I love you, and may the Most High bless you. Shalom, and good night.
Everyone's lying.